Thanks to all you for the news updates. Like I said, we'll speak to Payne Griffin coming up in about 10 minutes. But first, our part two of our interview with Sierra Rogers Ferris, disability rights advocate here at the University of Alabama. The second part of the interview is quite interesting. She talks a lot about what the university could do to continue to move forward in advocating for people with disabilities at the university. So the university, in your opinion, Sierra Rogers Ferris, is only meeting the bare minimum of which the ADA dictates that they do, and there is a lack of services and a lack of perhaps awareness of disability issues.
Oh, there's certainly a lack of awareness. I mean, most of the people I'll talk to about these issues, that, you know, they look like I've just blown their minds, right? But, you know, as for groups and, you know, things being done, you know, ODS does what they're meant to do, and, you know, it would just require more people to do more than what they can at the moment.
So,
go ahead.
Not to interrupt you, but what's the biggest for you? What is the biggest, most egregious thing that needs to be changed, in your opinion, on the campus?
I mean, I really do think it is front entrances to buildings. A lot of the buildings are old, like Civil War era old, and, you know, people with disabilities are using the back entrances. No, I don't have to explain to anybody what those entrances used to be for. And so what does that say, that we're now making a different subgroup of the campus use only those entrances? You know, it wouldn't be acceptable for any other group but disabled people.
And what does that say about our society, do you think?
I think it says that we don't value people with disabilities, to be honest. I mean, even the way the ODS slips are formed, mine said that if the elevator wasn't working, that I wasn't required to go to class that day because I couldn't get upstairs. Now, while that's handy because I can't be, you know, written off as being absent that day, that also means that my education for that day isn't important. I'm still going to be required to know that information on an exam or in a paper or any quiz type, you know, time. And so the fact that I've missed that class, whether or not it was excusable, just means that there's less of a value put on my education.
So you think that the ODS, and perhaps it's a matter of staffing, perhaps it's a matter of funding, perhaps it's a matter of they just don't know what else to do, that if you, for example, you're in Tenmore Hall, you got to take a test on the second floor, the elevator's not working that day, you can't make it up the steps, you can just go home.
Yeah.
And there's really no recourse that they particularly seem to care about in terms of that.
I don't know, care about, you know, because I've only had, you know, I've had limited conversation with the people at ODS. But I certainly don't think that the, you know, the professors necessarily think about it that way. But, you know, most of the time the elevators, you know, are working, but that's that one day that, yeah, maybe it's on a quiz or maybe it's an exam and you can't get up there. What are you going to do? Or, for example, if you're on the second floor and you can't use stairs and the elevator breaks, now you can't go home. You can't, like, if you're in a wheelchair, you really can't go home. You're stuck there. And it's especially issues such as a fire in a building, you can't use the elevator. Well, what about those people who can't use stairs? How are they going to get down? How are they going to escape if there's an actual fire in the building and it's not just a drill?
Sierra, I want to change directions a little bit in our conversation here. Away from the university for just a second, there's a very well-known story by now of a man from Baltimore, Maryland. He was 26 years old, suffered from Asperger's syndrome, completely different from cerebral palsy in
yes.
many ways. But this gentleman was in a movie theater, and maybe you're familiar with this story. He was in a movie theater, and this was back in January. He wanted to see a movie again. Obviously, some people with Asperger's lack the capacity to fully express their words in ways that regularly functioning people would be able to understand. And so instead of saying, hey, I want to watch this movie again, he kind of darted back into the theater, wanted to watch it again, sat down. He's a big guy, weighed a couple hundred pounds, 300, 400 pounds, and was forcibly removed from the movie theater by police officers, plainclothes police officers, men that were not currently, they were off-duty police officers. They were working at the nearby mall. They were called in, they removed this man, and then the details are very sketchy as to what happened. Long story short, the man ended up dying. The police officers were on top of him, and he died of asphyxiation. My point in telling that story, Sierra, is Do you think that police officers and authority figures and people in our society that are meant to sort of look out for all members of our society, do they have the resources and the know-how to deal with people with disabilities?
The know-how? Most likely not. You know, different police, you know, precincts do different things. But I think for the most part, no. They don't have the necessary information to deal with people, especially something that's invisible, such as Asperger's or, you know, sometimes, you know, other physical disabilities. You know, you could have, you know, if he had asthma or some kind of breathing issue, they wouldn't have been able to see that, and he would have, you know, the same thing would have come up. And so I think it's also hard to know, you know, when you look at somebody, if they have a disability that could be life-threatening. You know, and for the example of that man Asperger's, you can't tell. You know, some people, you can't tell the difference between, oh, they're just a jerk, and no, this person just can't, like, communicate the way that other people think he should be able to. So I think education would help a good deal, letting, you know, police officers know that, you know, there are going to be some people that you don't need to rough around, that you're just going to have to explain things to them. So that, you know, because I'm sure when they asked him to leave that they didn't sit down and explain how movie theaters work.
Sure.
And that type of thing. That might have helped.
Sure. We're speaking to Sierra Rogers Ferris. She's the president and founder of the Crimson Access Alliance. Now, Sierra, we're coming up close to the end of our interview here, but I do want to ask, there are millions and millions and millions of Americans with disabilities, many more than most people would think. There are millions of people that suffer with disabilities, even countless more who are touched in some way, families or friends, people with disabilities. But with that being said, there's not always that same amount of advocates. Those people that suffer from these disabilities, especially those that are able to carry out a fairly regular life, fairly normal life, oftentimes do not become advocates. They just want to live their life. They don't want to be reminded of it. They don't want to be bothered by all these issues. But you take on a very aggressive role. You're saying, no, look, it's true I'm disabled, but I'm not going to change. This is who I am. And you need to figure out how we're going to make things better. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, for the majority of my life, I really did have the opinion of, if I just ignore it and, you know, make everybody else around me ignore it, and, you know, do my best, then I can just live like everybody else lives. But at a certain point, I realized that that's, you know, I shouldn't have to make that choice. I shouldn't have to make the choice between being treated like a human being and, you know, not being in pain. You know, from just the way, you know, using the stairs, because everybody uses the stairs, and now I can't breathe. But I'm going to pretend I can breathe so that everybody around me treats me like a human being. So at some point, I think a lot of it had to do with my upbringing in the military. You know, I was always taught...
Your father served in the Army. You traveled around quite often for audiences' background.
Yeah, he was in the Army for 26 years before I was born, up until about 4 years ago. So, I mean, the entirety of my life up until college was spent with soldiers. And for anybody who's not spent time with soldiers, that's a very rough and tumble, say your opinion with lots of cuss words kind of group of folks. So I think that upbringing really helped me understand and just be comfortable with saying, no, this is not okay. And getting into that. But for a lot of people, it's uncomfortable, and the stigma that's placed on it, it's kind of, if you can get away without people knowing, you do get away without people knowing, or as much as you can. So I think at some point I was just tired of being treated like crap and decided that it wasn't okay anymore.
Well, Sierra Rogers Ferris, people want to get involved in the Crimson Access Alliance, a group on campus of people, disabled and otherwise, advocates who are not disabled, who... want to bring change to this university, want to make the university not just compliant with the ADA, but also perhaps thriving with people with disabilities. How can people get involved?
We have a Facebook group, Crimson Access Alliance Facebook, and we also have a Twitter feed started by some of the folks in the communications department, actually. And then we also meet the first and third Tuesday of the month in Manly Hall, room 102, I believe. And also, they can contact me directly at serogers@crimson.ua.edu. And, you know, and I'll give them any information they need.
Say your email one more time.
Serogers, RODGERS, at crimson.ua.edu.
Very good. That's if you want to get involved in the Crimson Access Alliance. Sarah Rogers Ferris, congratulations. You, as you notice, her email is Rogers. It's now Rogers Ferris. She's
yeah.
been married. When did you get married?
April. So about just over 6 months ago. Not that long, actually.
Well,
so.
Very good. Well, very good. Congratulations on that. And we appreciate you coming on and speaking to us on Capstone News Now. Welcome back into Capstone News Now. We appreciate Sierra Rogers Ferris for speaking to us. A very interesting conversation. We will continue our coverage of disability rights issues on campus. We like to look out for people that usually don't get a lot of coverage in local media outlets, so we will do so here on Capstone News Now. Coming up next, we will speak to Payne Griffin, a Mountain Brook High School graduate, also a researcher, a current student and researcher of John F. Kennedy at American University, Skyping us live from London. Stay with us on Capstone News Now. It's WVUA-FM.